We are joined by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, who joins us now to talk books. How are you?
I'm doing well, but usually there's like news and weather and there's a little transition. We just went right into that.
Yeah. Well, we had had the conversation with Ashley and then that ran a minute over. So I'm changing the schedule around a little bit.
And not telling me.
Yes.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you were able to join us.
I just got back from Florida.
That's awesome.
Orlando is where I was.
For the American Library Association
conference.
You got it. Where you spoke.
I did speak.
Yes. How did that go?
It went well.
Yeah.
And I thought a couple months ago when I booked this, I'm not a huge fan of the state of Florida, mm-hmm. and I'm not a huge fan of Orlando as a conference place.
Yeah.
Who does that?
No one really.
So I thought, how can I make this fun and interesting?
You know what is worse than Orlando as a conference site? I was in Charleston this past weekend. Uh-huh. We were driving back up 95. So we get to the North-South Carolina border, and at the North-South Carolina border on 95 is south of the border.
I bet that's an awesome conference site.
They have a conference center
there.
No,
they don't.
They have an
south
actual
of the border does not
convention
have a conference
center at south of the border. I really want to see. Like I haven't been on their website since I've been back, but I've been meaning to get on
and see. Hey, Gringo, you can have your conference here, right? Aren't those what
those
signs say?
Schedule, yes.
Like, Gringo, you're about to see it.
Yeah,
hey, Gringo,
all of
you
these,
just
like,
missed it.
Yeah, these.
I haven't driven by south of the border in forever, but when I was a kid, like, we looked forward to that. Like, when are we going to start seeing those signs?
I had never actually been there, but we stopped there and, like, walked around for 15 minutes. They've got the most unbelievably creepy amusement park I've ever seen in my life with this sort of really like tinny carnival music playing in the background, like din 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 din, and a completely empty parking lot in front of it. It was scary. But they have a convention center. So apparently they have conventions at south of the border.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love it, but it also makes me think about the time when I think we were on a college road trip and we passed I forget where we were going, but every 10 miles we passed a Stuckey's.
Yes.
You know, home of the famous peanut log. And we were like, let's finally stop. It's got to be a thing. And not only did we experience Stuckey's, but we got one of those peanut logs.
Oh, God. And live to tell the tale, barely.
It was just really, I mean, maybe when they're fresh, it's good, but this one was really stale.
That's not good.
And then, what's the other one? Sea Rock City, right?
Oh, yeah,
that's
Sea
the
Rock
other
City.
Big destination.
Yep. That's the one. I think that's in Tennessee, isn't it? I think it's still around.
Yeah, I think
I'm not
so.
Sure. Yeah. Up in Michigan, where I grew up, if you're driving up to the Upper Peninsula, there's signs, in the same way that you have south of the border for Seashell City, home of the famous man-eating clam. You pull off on the side of the road, and it's basically just like a tiny version of south of the border. It's this one building, and you walk in, and you're just confronted by the kitschiest items for, like, tourist trappy items for sale. And over in the corner is this claw games where you can grab the thing. In one of those, basically, is this, like, giant mocked-up, I think it's plastic clam.
Does it eat people?
I hope not.
And
not
what's
the,
this
not
place
to my
called?
Knowledge. Seashell City.
Say it again.
Seashell City.
You
Seashell
have your
City.
Job for a reason.
Toy
wow.
boat, unique New York. Seashell City.
Seashell City.
Yeah. And
awesome.
Yeah, I did buy one item there. It was a starfish with little plastic sunglasses and a bikini painted on it.
I brought my younger kid a crab back as a souvenir, like a wind-up
cool.
crab
oh,
from
nice.
Seattle a couple years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
What the heck? So I did.
So anyway, you were going to Orlando.
So I was going to go there, and I didn't really want to go, but I was asked to present, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then I was like, I know how I can make this fun.
Uh-oh.
I'll take the train. So took the overnight train. I got on the train in Cary last Thursday at like 9 p.m., right? So I was super excited about it. To a
this is my
person,
favorite Gladys Knight song.
To a person, everybody that I met before I did it, when I was like, all so like, I'm going to take the train. Mm-hmm, I got a sleeper car. It's going to be overnight. They're all like,
okay.
Have fun with that. People that had actually done it. So it was super fun. It was adventurous. I'm glad I did it. I tend to think of myself as a heavy sleeper who can sleep anywhere. I'm still getting over it. Like sleeping on a train. This is not like the TGV like Mission Impossible high speed trains where they're drinking martinis.
You're
on the
sleeping
train.
In the seat.
There was a toilet in my room.
Oh, you had a room? That's good.
I had a room.
Yeah, that's good.
Everything rattles and they blow that horn.
past every single intersection.
Not even, I mean, all constantly.
Yeah.
The horn blew constantly. So I'm glad I did it. I can say I've done it. And then I met lots of great people.
That's cool.
Some of them who were, you know, grandmas taking the train from Miami to New York, and they do it a couple times a year. So they shamed me and my whininess. But
yeah.
I'm kind of still getting over it. I got
That's really cool. That's really cool.
And then you have to get your sea legs back, because for a day after I got down there and then a day coming back.
Because you're on that train.
I felt like I was like the floor was moving yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the same thing, I'm sure, with like being on a boat for a long time.
Right.
If you're like on anything that's just moving like that, you got to get your ground legs back somehow. So what was the actual speech?
I was with two other people talking about organizational culture and how to develop a positive organizational culture.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no follow-up questions.
Right?
Yeah.
It was fun. Now I'm back. And I am looking forward to the long holiday weekend myself.
Yes. It's going to be a lot of fun. What are your 4th of July plans? We're going to talk about the 4th of July, and that's our book recommendation topic.
Yes.
So we're segueing into that.
We will eventually talk about books, and they will be inspired by July 4th.
Yes.
My plans are pool.
Okay.
Pool.
I'm a billiards fan myself.
Go to the pool, read some books, probably grill some
meat out by the pool.
Near the pool.
Yeah, I like it.
And then we are huge fans of the Town of Chapel Hill co-sponsored 4th of July extravaganza. I had no idea until we moved back here. I had never been, and
it's so cool, isn't it? Yeah.
Love fireworks. So we're totally going to do that. In fact, I think, was it last year you were doing the watermelon eating contest?
I wasn't the MC. Zach Ward was the MC, but I was there doing improv-related stuff with DSI.
We saw that.
So, yep.
We laughed. We cried.
Yep.
Mostly
we shook our neighbor and said, and said, "Why, God, why?" Yeah, so I think I'm going to be doing that again this year. So I'm not 100% sure, but if I'm doing it, then I'll see you there.
Dude, it's next week. You should probably figure out if you're doing
it or not. I probably should figure it out, but it's improv. We'll figure it out the day before.
Hey, there you go.
All right.
So our prompt was
our
nation's independence.
Our nation's independence. Okay, so I've got a few. Okay, first one that I thought of, July 4th, American Independence Day. I thought of sort of the founding fathers. What's the best book that I can recommend about the American founders? And then because I'm a nerd, I started thinking of like 15 different ones. I've been listening to Hamilton songs on YouTube for the last 3 days, so I've got that on the brain. But the one I came up with was there is a collection of letters exchanged by Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, which has been compiled. It's just their entire correspondence dating back to the 1700s and all the way through until 1826. And I mentioned Jefferson and Adams because Jefferson's the third president, Adams is the second president, both revolutionaries, founders, great figures in American history, and they both died on the same day, 4th of July, 1826, on the 50th anniversary of American independence. Both Adams and Jefferson passed away. So it's a good sort of memory of the founders on the 4th of July. And their letters that they exchanged with each other are just so intelligent and smart, and just covering the entire gamut of American history early and political philosophy and all that. So for a history nerd or a political nerd like me, that's a great book to read.
I'm also going to talk about Thomas Jefferson.
Okay.
But first, so I always forget that Jefferson and Adams both died on July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Different years, though.
No, same year.
Same
like
year.
Within a couple of hours of each other. It was very weird because it was July 4th, 1826. It was the 50th anniversary of American independence, and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on the same
day. That's crazy.
Yeah, right?
And it makes me think of, I remember my dad when I was a kid had one of these like in his pickup truck. Have you ever seen the coincidences between Kennedy and Lincoln?
And Lincoln, like,
and there was
one
this
of them had a secretary
car.
Named
yeah.
Lincoln, the other one had
and
a
it,
secretary.
Like,
yeah.
Listed all of those.
Yep, yep.
And it had
both
their silhouettes on the
both succeeded by a president named Johnson. Yes. Yep. Both assassinated by a three-named person
three,
with the same number
names.
Of same number of letters in their
yes.
names. Yep.
Yeah. I vividly remember,
every
time I rode in my dad's truck, I would read that. I was like, oh, yeah, there's something else going on here.
Yep,
so, that was cool.
Okay.
Okay, so I was also thinking about founding fathers and such. And I pulled, and I forgot, I feel like she might have a new book coming out. Anne Gordon Reed wrote two books, Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings on American Controversy. And then the second one was the Hemingses of Monticello.
Right.
So let me restate those.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings, An American Controversy, mm-hmm. and the follow-up, The Hemingses of Monticello.
Oh, I want to read that.
Very, very good book. And I think the second book might have won or was at least nominated for some of the big nonfiction prizes. But mm-hmm. it looks at – so the first book really just does what it says, and it looks up – it looks at the relationship of Jefferson and Hemings and the controversy and sort of what that meant. The second one, which I actually liked a little bit better, I found it really interesting, is she writes about the whole family and what Sally Hemings' mother was like and what that meant
yeah.
and the whole family that made Monticello run, the descendants and all of that. And I think it strikes a pretty good balance, both of her books, of weighty academic tome and accessibly written for anybody else who's not a weighty academic.
Yeah.
So my mind also went to Jefferson.
I'd have to check that.
And those
that book
two
out.
Books. And I feel like she's got a third one out, but that's just a feeling.
Okay.
Anne Gordon Reed.
All right. I like that. I'm going to have to check out the Hemingses of Monticello.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll have to get that one. Okay. So I fast forwarded about 70 years for my second recommendation, also from American history. But the town of Carrboro every single year is part of their 4th of July celebration because it's Carrboro and this is what they do. Hillsborough does the public reading of the Declaration of Independence. And I know I was down in Charleston this past weekend. They're doing the same thing on the 4th of July. Carrboro goes the other way and talks about sort of the history of American liberty, not in the positive sense, but in the negative sense, like the constant struggle to achieve it. So rather than the Declaration of Independence, which is this sort of triumphal thing, they do a public reading of Frederick Douglass's 4th of July address, What to the Slave is the 4th of July, which was an abolitionist address delivered in, I think, 1850, 1852, somewhere in there. I gave it a couple of times about, look, you're all out there celebrating 4th of July and American independence and liberty and freedom and whatnot. We're still living in an age of slavery. So what's up with that? He says it much better. But it's a great, great...
Was that a quote? What's up with that?
I don't think he had what's up with that in there. But it's a great, great speech worth checking out. Carrboro does the public reading of it at the Century Center every single year. They're going to do it at noon on the 4th of July. Worth going to. But before that, check out the autobiography of Frederick Douglass, which is one of the great sort of slave narratives, famous autobiography. He's an amazing figure. His story, his life, his getting out of slavery, and what he did after that is an amazing story.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay. So that's a lot of nonfiction. So
yes.
My next pick is fiction.
As is mine.
Oh, there we go. That's like some kind of weird mind meld going
yeah.
on. It's like we do this
synergy,
all the time.
I know.
Synergy. Let's leverage that synergy. I'm
yes.
sorry. I just used
You're just coming
those
out of the
words.
ALA conference.
No, we were leveraging synergy for four
You're
days.
You're still speaking conferencees.
In this sweaty, sweaty weather.
I have a question in the form of a comment.
Okay. So fiction. I was thinking, let's go super literal.
Okay.
And I wanted to recommend Independence Day by Richard Ford.
Okay.
So Richard Ford is, I think, right up there with like a Walker Percy and a John Updike. And the Independence Day is the second in, it's a trilogy. Actually, I think there's technically four books in it. But he wrote The Sports Writer in the 80s and then Independence Day. And then it was followed by a book of stories. And then he closed out the trilogy with The Lay of the Land. But the whole trilogy is called the Bascom books or the Bascom trilogy. And if you like Rabbit Run and the Updike mm-hmm. books, you would like this, I think. Bascom, who's the main character, sort of picks up where the first book left off, but he's just this everyman. And so in Independence Day, he is getting ready for a 4th of July party. And again, much like Percy and Updike, and even Revolutionary Road, escapes me. Anyways,
yeah.
those types of books.
Okay.
It is all of the small and large traumas in his life, issues in his life, problems in very small sort of everyday moments. So Independence Day by Richard Ford. It's the second one in, I don't know if it's a, there's a trilogy plus one. What does that make that?
A quadrilogy.
A quadrilogy?
A tetralogy, maybe? Is it a tetralogy? I think I might be right about that, but a
that
tetralogy is something.
That's what you call a quadrilogy when you're at a conference.
Yes.
A tetralogy.
A tetralogy. That's when you call a quadrilogy when you're at a conference and it's the end of the day and you're at the hotel bar with everyone else at the conference. And I think it's a tetralogy.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah.
Care to throw out a different opinion? So, yes. Richard Ford, American writer, a very American approach, like those other guys. Independence Day. That's one that came to my mind.
Okay, I've got one more, and I was thinking about this, and it's like, oh, this is perfect, because I don't know if I've ever actually recommended this book, but it's my favorite children's book of all time, Wanda Newberry. We don't really count it as a children's book. It's really for, I guess, maybe pre-teens, early teens, and it still holds up. I own it. I've reread it as an adult, and it's an amazing book. With scenes set on the 4th of July, one of the main characters who may or may not appear throughout the course of the book is born on the 4th of July. It ends with a sudden display of fireworks on the 4th of July, and it's also a maybe murder mystery and maybe not, but you don't actually figure that out until the very end, whether there was even a murder to be mysteried.
It's not the Westing Game,
it is the Westing Game, yes.
The Westing Game!
By Ellen Raskin, which is such a good book. It is just, it's so good.
Okay,
that's
good.
All I got. Yeah.
That's all you got. But I'm glad, because I was like, what is it? What is it? And then when you said he may or may not be.
Yeah.
There
like,
may or
you
may
don't
not
really
be a
know
like,
over
oh,
the course.
Of
and it's
course.
Like, what actually is this? But it's great. It's a character study with all of these people that live in the house, their interactions, their lives, wordplay. It's funny. It's dramatic. It's sad. It's great. So check it out.
I got one more.
Okay.
And I forgot to check if we actually have it in our catalog.
All right.
So we may not own this one. Don't you check.
I'm looking up whether tetralogy is the
okay. All righty. So this book came out a couple of years ago, and the book is called Contested Wa- So first of all, back up. I'm planning to spend much of my holiday weekend at the pool with my kids.
Right.
So I was thinking about that, and this book came to mind. It came out a couple years ago, and it's called Contested Waters, mm-hmm. A Social History of Swimming Pools in America.
Oh, nice.
And it's a really interesting book.
Yes.
So parts of it talks about turn of the century and public bathing and mm-hmm. the origin of pools as, you know, public bathhouses. But really, the great focus of it is public swimming pools as a way to look at the changing nature of racial and
yep.
social justice.
Yep.
And it's really, really interesting.
As soon as you said it, I started it like it's just like the whole book just pictured itself in
yeah.
my head. I'm like, oh, that would be so
right?
interesting.
Right? It's a great
yes.
framework for it.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really interesting book. Again, I haven't checked. If we don't have it, I might put a drop a hint in my acquisitions
yeah.
manager's ear, but it's called Contested
Probably
Waters.
A really good book about class, too. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All of it. All
yeah,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Social History of Swimming Pools.
Okay. Do they include
in
bathhouses as well, like public bathhouses?
I can't remember if that's in there or not.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But that's, yeah, I have to check that
yeah.
out. So, what's it called again?
Contested Waters.
Contested
a Social
Waters.
History
okay.
of Swimming Pools in America.
Yeah. I have to check that out because that's going to be.
You would like it.
That would be such a good book. Okay. I definitely have to get that and The Hemingses of Monticello.
Yes.
Writing both of them down. A tetralogy is a compound work that is made up of four distinct works.
Boom.
Boom.
You got it.
We got it.
This
all right.
quadrology is probably not actually
it's
a word,
not
but
even
we
a
won't
word.
Look that
yeah.
up.
Seashell City. All right. Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library.
Happy
thank
fourth.
You so much. Happy 4th of July.